Hi, welcome to Creating Cash Flow for July 24th, 2022. We're hearing from Beth. Continue.
So anyway, I knew I needed to do more work on streamlining my business and making it more efficient. And, you know, I've been sort of on the fence because my situation's actually the inverse of most people's. I'm a lawyer and I try to do acting, but instead of the other way around, an actor who has a side business.
Right.
So I've kind of been on the fence. And the thing is, I had a coach from the SBA and he said, just, you know, a lot of people say, Joe, just get a full-time job. And the thing is, I don't want to. I don't want to get a full-time job working for somebody else. Plus, people who don't understand what I do may not understand that, you know, I'm at a point in my career where it's hard for me to go to work for somebody else. I'd have to come in at a senior level, but even doing that would be like a full-time commitment. And I'm in many ways content with the life I've set up, just work basically practicing law part-time, only 40 hours a week. In the legal profession, that's part-time.
Yeah, I know.
So the thing is, if I work for a firm, I won't be able to do any of the things that I enjoy doing or that interest me.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that badly, but, you know, in terms of my business, but I have some imposter syndrome feelings, both about my law business and my acting.
And aside from feeling more in alignment with both things that you're doing and ownership around, doing the law thing, doing the acting thing, are there tweaks that you want to make to?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's the law. Cash flow is what I need help with. So, you know, I do have a bookkeeper. I do have an invoicing system. But based on the records of my bookkeeper, and first of all, I'm doing everything and I could use better support. I have one part-time assistant. You know, in law, it's hard to delegate because as a supervisor, you need to make sure everything's done properly. And I just recently had a couple of screw-ups. And if I'm not on everything 100%, then I can't make sure things aren't done right. But at the same time, I'm wearing a lot of different hats. And it's hard for me to, you know, I would like to streamline so that I basically, like you said in your introduction, work less and earn more.
Yeah. And how much do you charge hourly?
Well, that's the thing.
Well, how do you charge?
Because I'm an immigration lawyer, most immigration lawyers charge flat fee. Now, I also do some work for other lawyers. When I do the legal writing for them, right now my rate for the legal writing is $90 an hour. But my cases generally, my main line of business is usually $500 a case, but you know, I need to do some $5,000 a case, as I said, but I need to do some refinement. And I did, you know, I did re-examine my fees for this year.
And do you feel that I'm just asking to get a feel for this area. Do you feel that you are working with the most lucrative audience clientele in your sphere?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty happy with my main line. I'm trying to focus more on my main line of business is sports immigration. I'm trying to focus more on that. And when I get the kind, I hate to stereotype, but the draining, low paying cases, I try not to do very much of that. I have one client where like everything's impossible and seems to keep going wrong. And then I have another one I took on where, you know, she doesn't want to pay. So I really, I'm trying to get away from those situations and focus more on the sports immigration, which I've been winning all of them and been doing well with them. And I do have a group of sports immigration lawyers that I'm part of. And we have an upcoming meeting in Orlando on September 2nd.
Do they charge comparable to what you're charging?
They charge a lot more. And the mentor was yelling at me saying, we're charging $8,500 a case. You need to raise your rates by $1,500 a year. I've had a disconnect with, I have been raising them. And I was charging like $3,000 and I'm up to $5,000 now. But I'm raising them like $500 every month. I mean, $500 every 6 months for the past few years. I'm not, you know, or maybe, you know, buy $1,000 for new cases. And then I have the more difficult cases that I should be charging much more. I should be, she says she charges double for the permanent immigration of what she charges for the temporary visas. And I just need to, I just have a hard time with the mindset of charging.
Right. And what's going on up in there when you think about
it? Yeah.
What is going on up there?
Oh, well, part of it is I'm thinking in 1980s dollars.
Okay.
But the thing is, the cost of living's gone up many fold since then.
How does someone's life change when you help them?
Well, I mean, I can give you one example. It's a really cool story of this athlete who had almost no equipment to train by in Senegal, somehow managed to get to the Olympics. And I helped him get a visa to work as a coach at a club in Manhattan. And now his wife in Senegal just had a baby and he wants to bring them over to join him in New York.
So for less than $10,000, you can change a person's life.
Yeah.
Trajectory of their career.
Yeah.
Generational wealth.
Yes.
For less than $10,000.
Yes.
Who wouldn't pay, find a way to pay less than $10,000 to change my life, the trajectory of my career, and possible generational wealth?
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Don't
and,
you?
And I have to own that I deserve to be paid as much as my colleagues.
How would your life be impacted if you were earning $7,000?
Well, I mean, I've got, you know, I have had trouble with cash flow where I'm running a net deficit. So, you know, and my goal, I've talked to Miata about this. With, you know, it seemed like a fantasy to get up to 100,000, but, you know, last month I did over 8,000. So, you know, if, I mean, is it feasible for me to bring in 10,000 a month within a few months? Yeah, it's feasible. But one thing is I can't jerk around fantasizing about acting stuff during business hours. I have to really focus on my business, you know, from 8:30 to 5. And I mean, one good thing about, online auditions is you don't have to do them at a particular time.
Right. But how would it change your,
well, I'd be more financially secure and have less stress.
And you'd have
there's a certain amount of stress with what I do because I have to make sure things are done properly and really focus. And I do, it does take a lot of work to keep myself centered. I have to exercise and do yoga and things to keep myself centered.
And that's all part of the, what it takes for you to help these people change their life.
Yeah.
You have to be able to take care of your life.
Right.
So that you can transform somebody else's life. There's
Correct.
A great quote. I don't know who to attribute to, but it's give from your light, not from your oil, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so I do do self-care. That's a big part of what I do to be able to give. Because I give so much more effectively when I am together.
But if you were charging $7,500 a case, you would only need to take a case and a half each month. So you'd need 18 clients for a year. And wouldn't that help with the workload?
Probably, yeah.
And what's holding you back from just giving yourself that gift?
Well, I'm doing a number of different types of things. And I have another line of work, you know, where I back up other attorneys with research and writing. And mm-hmm. I enjoy that also. Mm-hmm. But it would be more effective economically if I could focus on the sports immigration.
Yes. Because what you just said, what I said to you is, what's holding you back from giving yourself the gift of charging $7,500 per case? And what you said was, well, I like to do these other things with helping support lawyers. But my question is, what do you like to do more though?
Well, when
Let me finish, Beth. What do you like to do more? These other types of things with the lawyers that you're charging like $90 an hour for, or acting?
Oh, okay.
Isn't the point for you to make as much as you can, as much as you need from your law stuff so that you can act? It means shrinking the stuff you're doing over here with the law if you want to also have acting opportunities.
Right.
Not keeping it all kind of here and adding acting, because you already have a very full plate.
Yeah.
But what's great about your job is it's lucrative. But there's going to be some things that need to come off the plate. Gradually wean off the clients that aren't paying and aren't, you know, can't afford you. Not everybody can afford you, but there's other lawyers charging less. You're actually, with 7,500, charging less than the average of, you know, your colleagues. Yeah. So you're coming in under. So you're the bargain gal in the bunch, but right now you're the insane one in the bunch. And I can understand where your colleagues are like, you're dragging it down.
Yeah.
Because organizers had the same thing. The organizing industry, even back when I was doing it, it's like you have to charge a certain amount to differentiate us from cleaning people. We're not that. We have to be a little bit higher. And that's what your colleagues are saying, is like, this is what we're doing up here. So what is preventing you from giving yourself the gift of raising your case rate to $7,500?
Well, what happens is I'm getting my business from word of mouth. Mm-hmm. They talk to each other. And so mm-hmm. if I charge one person one rate, uh-huh. then I need to charge the next one. So what I have to do is make periodic across the board fee increases that apply to everybody. And then the question is, well, if somebody's already been a client, mm-hmm. do I give them a reduced rate? Mm-hmm. You know, do I differentiate between the existing clients and the new clients? The problem is they all talk to each other. So they all know what I charge.
That's not a problem.
Okay.
You're making it a problem.
Okay.
Your rates are your rates. Life is fluid. Things change. Right. You get better and better at your job. Your situation changed. You want to add this other thing into your life and your rate is now this. Yep. That guy got that. Everybody who goes on an airplane, everyone's paying a different rate basically.
Right.
We all know it. But, and someone who was a client can't come back necessarily with the expectation that everything has stayed exactly the same.
Right. And so what happens is it's temporary visa to green card. And mm-hmm. I have been undercharging for the green card process and I've been letting people negotiate me down. And I, you know, that's something I need to change. Mm-hmm. I need to say, no, this is what it costs.
Yeah.
And be consistent and across the board.
Can I ask what pulls on your heartstrings that lets you, that makes you capitulate?
I mean, you know, there are people, you know, particularly people who have to support a family, and then they say, oh, I just can't afford that. And, but, you know, I really shouldn't be giving one price to one person and one to another.
Yeah. But there's other lawyers they can go to that will be less than what you're charging, that would be the discount rate from what you're charging.
Well, the lawyer, one lawyer that I do writing for, charges less for this type of case, but she's not really an expert in it as much as me.
Yeah. And so if people want this process to go smooth and fast and be detail oriented, I's dotted, T's crossed, that's why they would hire you.
Right.
And you'd say, I know this seems very steep. This is something that's going to change your life. And the reason I have to charge this much is because I want to be able to have this go smooth and as fast as possible and get it done right the first time. I don't want you going to someone who's going to take you around the block a few times due to their lack of expertise in this area. And this is what enables me to provide this service. And then it's their choice. You're not taking money out of their pockets. It's their choice to go to someone cheaper if the money is really an option, you know, a barrier, or to be like, okay, I'm going to find a way to go with you. This is going for you to make this your life someplace where you're actually making a net profit and not keep going back. It's really going to take a big perspective shift on your part. Your heart goes out to these people, but you are also offering the ability to give them the greatest service in this area. And then it's economics. You're living in an expensive town. You
I relocated to Atlanta from LA, but it's still, you know, the cost of living has gone up here compared to what it was.
Yeah. And you're living, you know, in a city. You're not living in an inexpensive area, I would say. You have a cost of living. You paid for your education and you're pursuing another side career that is expensive. Those are the facts. And if you're not living in your own reality of your circumstances, you're just always going to be putting yourself behind. And then you won't be able to serve people as well, you know, to the degree that you want to. So the good news, Beth, is this is all in your court. This is nothing is holding you back from making the amount of money you want to make, except the stories and the perspectives that you've been looking at this with. But you could literally just decide. It is a decision away, $7,500. I like comes in under the $8,500, but it's you need more. You need more. So it's just a decision to do it and then see what happens. See what happens. So is that some good food for thought to kind of mull around?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's been hard for me to figure out the, you know, the pricing when I talk to people.
When you talk to people who?
Well, new prospective clients or existing clients about prospective cases. I have an issue around figuring, you know, around quoting prices. I, you know, hasn't been that easy for me to do that.
Is each case different or is it a flat fee?
What it is the green card process is different. Every case is going to be a little different on the facts, but I did raise my prices, you know, at least up to 5,000 from 4,000 in 2022. So that was a change, and that's for the temporary visa. And the thing is the permanent has several components, the permanent, and it's what I charge for individual components.
Mm-hmm. I would encourage you, if you wanted to go back into the Creating Cash Flow archives of the recordings of our session. Okay. And back in, I believe it's November of 2020. No, here's what I want you to do better. Go to abundancebound.com/the-podcast and look for the podcast where I interview Sarah. Okay. Because that tells you Sarah's story of her mindset shift around asking for a raise. And we went through this whole thing. And there's some other really good episodes of that podcast with the guests that's all about the mindset shifts. Courtney would be another good one for you to listen to.
Okay. Because within abundancebound.com, what do I click on?
Oh, just click on podcast. You'll see a link for podcast.
Okay.
Courtney and Sarah would be good ones to start with. Okay. Because this is really about the stories you're telling yourself way more than, because your business will be smoother and more lucrative if you have flat fees for everything. That I'm going to get you the green card. This is how much it costs. I'm going to do an immigration case for you. This is how much it costs.
Right. And I do have a fee schedule. I do have a fee schedule that I put out every year of what everything is. Mm-hmm. I guess it would help if I actually post it in front of my desk and then adjust it.
Or not. Adjust it or not. Some clients, their cases are more difficult than others. So sometimes you're going to be earning your $7,500 and it's going to be super easy. That's called yay. That's called woo bonus. That makes up for the times when you get $7,500 and it's a little harder. It all equals out. But adjusting your prices based on like the intricacies of the person, that is a lot of time and effort. It should just be like this.
Well, okay. But there are things, for example, you add a family member and there's mm-hmm. an extra charge.
Yes. We're thinking on the same thing. Yeah. I was just going to say there should be just sort of like, oh, if you have the family member, then it's this much more. Or like that other woman said, you know, if it's a case that's like this, we just double the price. Like, but up. Notice those prices all go up.
Up. If there's
no down from your base rates. There's no down from your base rates. Unless it's better for you to take a case on pro bono and just do it for free than to be like, I'm going to adjust every little case I have. It's too, you don't have the staff for that. You're a one person show. And the point is, this isn't your only thing. You want the acting. If you want the acting, you have to make this lawyering thing streamlined, simple, and lucrative. Or it's just going to eat up all the energy. Yeah. So think about that. Listen to those podcasts and then come back and let me know what golden nuggets or what moved things inside you. And I'm totally, by the way, Beth, I'm sounding very adamant, but I'm happy to hear, like, I don't think I have all the answers and all the right things for you. And I certainly don't understand the intricacies of lawyer business. So you can feel free to push back, but I really want you to have a wonderful, lucrative life with acting, fulfilling you up on the side. I want that for you. So I'm just being adamant about the reality that's required for that. That's all. But thank you and welcome. And I'm really, really glad you're here. Yeah. Yeah. Cricket. Hello, Cricket. You are a cash flow kitten and your side biz is helping filmmakers find the right festivals to get into and streamlining that process for them and educating them about that. Okay. So here's what your first question.
Christine, can I ask you something really quickly before we dive into that? I actually raised my hand because I wanted to respond to something Beth said. Is that
okay? Yeah.
Okay. So there is a very bizarre Venn diagram where film festivals and immigration law connect. And
that's like, hello.
Yes. Just a bizarre side note, my first job out of undergrad before I went to grad school was in immigration law. Okay. So, I'm not a lawyer. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a writer. I'm a novelist. I'm a film festival consultant. But what I wanted to speak to is that I work with a lot of filmmakers who are using their film festival run to apply for O-1 visas and then legal permanent residency.
Okay.
And I have helped with these applications, and then I have seen the result when they haven't gotten what they wanted. And my practice is to say to students, I know there are a lot of immigration lawyers out there, for the love of God, find someone who specializes in the O-1 visa. That's the visa they're going for. Find someone, because if they don't specialize, they don't know all the intricacies, they don't know all the ins and outs, they don't know how hard it is to get that letter from the DGA, they don't know these things. And I have seen people go to the cheaper immigration lawyers and have their visas denied and have terrible impacts on their careers and on their families. And it just recently happened with one of the most talented filmmakers I've ever worked with from Israel. She went to an attorney who didn't understand, who was not a specialist in the O-1. And I'm not going to spend our time here going through it, but I just want to say, I feel like one of your biggest selling points is that you're a specialist. And that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, thanks. I've been focusing on, well, I don't know how much, you probably know the difference between O1A and O1B, but I've been focusing on the O1A athletes and research scientists.
Right.
I certainly have the capacity for the O1B. Some firms will boast about being connected, whatever. I've done the O1Bs before. You have to get the advisory opinions from the unions, and then it depends on their specialty, you know, within the film industry too.
But if you've got somebody who mostly deals with you know, H-1 visas, that was my point more than anything.
Right. Yeah. No, it is different because I was working on responses to requests for evidence for H's and L's, and the O's are very different. But you know, I like working on the O's. I have a Latin jazz musician too. I've been focusing mainly on the athletes, but I can do other O's. You know, it's a little different with the O-1B because you have to get. But I get consultation letters though from the Olympic Committee affiliate, you know, U.S. Mm-hmm. U.S. Olympic. I've been doing fencing, but you know, you get U.S. fencing, U.S. gymnastics, whatever. It's the equivalent of the letter from the entertainment union.
And I think that you can actually use that specialty of yours to convince people they really want to pay your prices rather than go to someone who doesn't have the same special qualifications you do.
That's the point.
And risk it, because the risk is huge. The risk is leaving the country. The risk is not bringing the family over. The risk is so huge.
Right.
If they go to the wrong lawyer who doesn't have the specialty.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. So leveraging your expertise.
Yeah.
When you are talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone comes to you and goes, oh, but I can't afford it, honestly, your job is to shift their perspective, because they're only looking at the finances right now. And it's like that short-term thinking, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So if you can shift their perspective and get them to see it from yours, you have a greater chance of engaging them as a client rather than.
I mean, there are some other issues going on. A lot of them are looking for the, you know, fancy corporate office. And here I am working from home doing these things. So that was actually one of my selling points, is my overhead's lower because I'm doing this.
I think that's a poor selling point, but we can talk further about how to sell, how to emphasize your strengths from your circumstances. But I don't think you have to be like, oh, I have low overhead. The core thing is I'm the one you want.
Right. Yeah. It's just there are lawyers who are known as specialists in entertainment. Now I am part of this.
No, we're not talking about.
I think I'm known within this, actually just one sport within the sports immigration world. And I do contract work for the research scientists through a national firm. But there are the lawyers with the expensive suits and the fancy offices who market themselves as the experts in entertainment, and they kind of discount me. They see me as the person doing the less expensive stuff. They don't put me in their league.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting moving over to entertainment. I was more thinking about like how special, unique, and specific your sports.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She wasn't talking about moving your expertise. She was just saying your expertise is so valuable because she has seen the results when people go to the cheaper, less experienced, less specialized lawyers.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so back to cricket, but thank you.
That's thank you.
That is a insanely crazy coincidence right there.
It is.
So you were saying, Cricket, that you were thinking about your opt-in gift and newsletter, and you'd like some thoughts, some feedback on that. And you were thinking for the opt-in gift for people to sign up to your list, 11 tips for submitting smart, a straightforward list. Not a lot of explanation. Just check out our monthly newsletter where we will unpack things like this every month, where you can go into like the details. And what you said the newsletter would contain is like definitions. What is the premier status? Observations on the current industry, explanations, how to prep for a recorded Q&A. And little inspirations like client victories and things like that would be in the newsletter. So you'd have this opt-in with tips,
right?
Then that would then go into a newsletter. So I am always, always looking at how can you get what you want with as little work as possible?
Yes.
And here's what because I liked how you were thinking, because your thoughts here gave me these thoughts.
Okay.
Okay. So I just want you to know I'm riffing off of what you are already doing. I'm just right to the left of what you're doing. I love this idea of, hey, I'm going to answer the top 24 or like, here's what I want you to do. I want it not to be an opt-in and not to be a newsletter, not to be a tip sheet, not to be a newsletter, because a newsletter means I got to crank one of these things out every single month for the rest of my existence, kind of. And instead, what they can opt in for is a series, the Submitting Smart series. Opt in for my Submitting Smart series, and twice a month, I will help you sharpen your edge, learn, pull back the curtain, and get the insider info on Submitting Smart. Now, here's the thing, is I'm kind of assuming that somebody coming to you for your services, like has a film and wants to get this thing out there. So you don't, a newsletter that comes out either once a month or once every 2 weeks, what those are best for are businesses where clients sometimes take quite a while to make a decision about working with you. I have people who have been hanging in my orbit for a couple years, listening to my little Golden Nugget videos, and then finally they mm-hmm. are like, I'm going to work with her. Same with organizing. They got my newsletter for a long time until they were like, okay. But with you, I kind of feel like people are, your clients have a shorter window, like 6 months in which they would decide that you're their gal. Am I thinking kind of right on that? And then once they work with you or know about you, have you filed in their head, they'll tell other people about you and they don't need more stuff from you because they'll just go back to you the next time.
Yes, I think that's correct. I think you're right. People usually start thinking about this when they're in post-production, and uh-huh. post-production on short films, the length of it is, it can vary dramatically. So, but they're usually, they've shot the film and now that that is done, they have their eye on, they can now focus on the next stage, which is festivals, marketing, distribution.
Right. So what if the opt-in was the Submitting Smart series once a week for 24 weeks, mm-hmm. I will give you the insider knowledge and da-da-da of the things that you really need to know. And then you can create 24 little newsletter thingies that you are going to create anyway. Mm-hmm. And they're done and you don't need a newsletter and you don't need, and then you have an opt-in and then you don't have to do any other work.
And then I have to figure out a way to send them chronologically, mm-hmm. like week number one, number two.
Oh, that is what's called an automated series. Okay. Any email service provider like MailChimp or blah, 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 lets you set up. Well, you want to make sure they let you set up, but it's pretty standard, an automated series so that when someone opts in, it triggers them to start, they get the first one. And then once a week on Mondays, they get all the other ones until it's done.
Okay. I like that. And as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, there is a value to a newsletter, maybe once a year or every 6 months, about accomplishments and achievements.
I think that's great. The quarterly, you know, cheering section or whatever, you know. Yeah, the quarter, like you can just do that quarterly.
Right.
Or once every 6 months. Yeah.
So that would be a way to keep in touch with people uh-huh. over a longer expanse of time.
Yes, yes.
But these first 24 or however many I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I really like that. I really like that because part of what I want to do is help filmmakers, and there's some information that everybody wants more filmmakers to know than mm-hmm. they would be able to get.
Right. Right.
And then hopefully choose to help me. I mean, to not help me, hire me.
Yeah. And that is what, now let's be strategic, because each one of these things isn't just here's some good info. Mm-hmm. I hope you hire me. It's like, here's something most filmmakers don't know.
Yeah.
Ba-ba-do-ba-do-ba-do. Now, this is how I help my clients with this. We do this. You're not telling them how to do it. You're telling them what you do with clients. We make sure you don't run into this problem. We make sure you don't run into this, or we help you with this. And we do this little thing that I call the boop-a-doop-a-do. You want them to be like, I want all of it. I want all her brain.
Mm.
So you have to kind of be like, mm-hmm. there's more.
Nice.
Tell them something they don't know, you may not be aware of, because that makes people go, wait, what? I always am like, what am I not aware of? I want to be aware of all of it. And then you tell them something that's like, oh, that's so smart. Oh my God, I had no idea. I didn't know what premiere status meant. Like something like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Light bulb goes on in their head. And then you say, right, but you need to know how to use this to your advantage. Or this, I don't want you running what I want to make sure my clients don't run into is the problem of blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, I don't want to do that either. If you're ready, you know, and I would have a line that I'd put in every single newsletter. Mm-hmm. You've already invested because you already know the value of things like good sound and good ba 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 da and good da 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 da. You've made a good film. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop now. Like, don't, the main thing is like, yeah. You've invested, yeah. Like, don't stop now. Don't this stop is where, now. Or this is where most filmmakers stop.
Don't let your film down now.
Yes. Oh, perfect. Cricket.
Don't let your film down now. Don't let your film down now.
Yep. Because you need to pinch another penny. It's like, nope. Mm-mm. Huh, call me, email me, click here. Let's talk.
Yes.
And then once you make those, set it, forget it. I would do maybe 3 times a year, a little, hey guys, celebrating this person, woo, mm-hmm. this thing. Yeah. Because yeah. that's also a bonus too for your clients. It's like, oh, I've worked with Cricket so that when I do have projects that go out, she'll feature me, you know, and help me expand my audience.
Exactly.
3 times a year, I feature clients. I let, you know, let people know about your projects.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. I love the idea of not having to do a monthly newsletter.
Yeah, I bet. Yes. Yeah, I don't want that hanging on your shoulders. And here's the other thing. So you've said you're doing this. I'm learning on your website. Mm-hmm. Okay. I opt in. I get one of these every 20 for 24 weeks. Mm-hmm. But then when you're listing your deliverables, like what do you get when you work with me?
Yes.
I would say, and when you immediately start working with me as a client, I give you all 24. I give you all 24.
Oh,
because that would be an incentive for somebody like me. I like to binge and I like to know all the information all at once. And so if I was like, because if I'm on week 3 mm-hmm. of these 24 and I'm like, I love her. I need her. Oh, I'm going to start working with her. And I knew that, yeah, the minute I start, the first thing you're going to do is drop all that stuff into my inbox.
Well, you know what's really interesting, Christine, is that the last time we spoke, you had asked sort of at the end of our conversation if I had like a PDF of maybe 17 points that mm-hmm. I could provide that would be basically tips for submitting after I developed the strategy for them and gave them the list of film festivals, mm-hmm. but also provide this other list.
Yeah.
I think it could be that.
I think it should be both. Because I still want the 24 thingamajiggies. Or yeah. are you saying you'll just still get them over the 24 weeks, but you get this thing immediately?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's do it that way because that's easy for you too. Here's your PDF.
I think I'd have to go through the material and see like, does that actually work? But right now it seems like it does.
What do you mean?
Just in terms of like some of this stuff is really complicated, like the premiere status issue. That's a whole like write up and explanation.
Like 2000 words or 200 words, like, you don't have to teach me all about it. You have to make me aware of it.
200 words in a quick little email, but like in terms of, or the, in the opt-in document that we're talking about, but in terms of how to solve the problems of that, uh-huh. it's much, much more.
Right. This Submitting Smart series is not teaching them how to solve the problem of it.
Okay.
That's what you do with your private clients.
Mm.
The complicated stuff is what people are paying you the big bucks for. you're making them aware that premier status is a thing that they may not have heard of. Here's why it's important.
Yeah.
Here's why it might be relevant for you. If you have a film that's this or this or this, you qualify. I'm just making this up. You're just giving them awareness. Okay. You're telling them, I know what I'm talking about. You can trust working with me because I know what I'm talking about. I know the ins, the outs, and behind the scenes. I know more than you. You're also showing them, you think you know, but you don't know, which is why you're selling your film short if you don't work with someone like me.
Right.
You know filmmaking, but you don't know the ins and outs of this part of it probably yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I was thinking that the 11 tips for submitting smart would just be then one of the 20, you know, 11 of the 24.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless you, yeah. So I would just, I mean, I would incorporate those 11 things, then fill it out so there's 24 things.
Okay.
And then just give them the whole 24 whenever they immediately sign up as a client.
And those would basically be the same thing.
Exactly.
Going out in the series. It's yes. Just like, here, you're going to get it all right now.
What you would make
yeah.
is a PDF document okay. that just copied and pasted the images and text that you're using for the newsletters. It would just okay. be lit newsletter. No, the series emails. Yeah. Would you just be using the same exact graphics?
And then the work we do together is going to basically address all of those issues, all 20.
It doesn't have to. You're just taking your client and going, here's what you need. It's like right. when I work with someone, I have a whole, even as an organizer, I have a whole bag of tricks. Mm-hmm. But part of my expertise is like, okay, we're going to need this one, this one, this one, this one, and this one for you.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
You don't have time to go. You're not there to, they're not taking a course. Mm-hmm. They're hiring you as a consultant. A course teaches them everything. A consultant yeah. is like, here's what you need.
Here's what you need. Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's really good. That's really good. I love this. I love the idea of the 24. And then as soon as people come in and sign up, sending them the whole list.
Yep.
Okay, great. And then whatever I need to address for them, I will address with them.
Yeah, that's what the intake call would be like, okay, what's the thing? This is how we work. What do you need? Yeah, this is, it's just giving you an idea of how, what you're going to do. But yeah, you're not giving them all of your knowledge.
Right. Right.
You're giving them what they need to get to their goal as fast as possible. Cause that's what everybody wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yes. So much less work. So, and you can get someone to help you, an assistant who knows whatever email provider system you're using to set up the automated series for you.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, you could learn it. It's not difficult. And then you just test it and make sure it's working correctly.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Gmail doesn't do this.
No, you need an email service provider, right, one that right. collects the addresses and then has the system set up to automate and yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I and will then, be looking into that too.
Yeah. Because what happens is when people sign up, they're going to be put on two lists or mm-hmm. two groups. The group of, okay, start this automated weekly thing. And then the list of like, send them the thing I'm going to create once a quarter
mm-hmm.
or three times a year.
Okay.
Because eventually the automation ends,
mm-hmm.
but then you just have to keep sending out to the list. Not right. It's not two lists. Like in MailChimp, you just have one list, but you have like these subgroups of your list.
Gotcha.
Something like that. But the person who knows the system will be able to tell you what you need. And sometimes even these places like ConvertKit or MailChimp, they have their own people. You can just be like, can you give me somebody who can help me set this up?
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And Upwork, you can find people on Upwork who can do it as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So then your second question was, you've been working on what the strategy and submission package would look like.
Mm-hmm.
What would I deliver? How many meetings would I take with my clients? So you're seeing the deliverables are the descriptions of the strategy. Here's what I recommend you do. Boop, 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 boop.
Yes.
Here's a report on 25 to 35 festivals that I think your film would be right for. Mm-hmm. Here's the schedule of those dates that you need to submit to those festivals by. Here's the 24 weeks of insider info. And here's a tool for managing submissions for you to track, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically just a spreadsheet that helps them keep track of everything.
They pre-made for them, right? Yeah.
Yes. Just,
perfect. Love it. That's fantastic. And so you were thinking that now you were thinking an intake call.
Mm-hmm.
That's call number one, call number two, delivery of the report, and call number three is a follow-up if they have questions.
Well, so here's what I was thinking. So I'm a member of the Film Festival Alliance, and they do a lot of studies that they then report on to the membership. And what I've noticed and what I like, they're doing something that I really like where they have a Zoom call where they say, we are presenting you this report. It's hitting your inboxes. It already hit your inboxes.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it's like. Here are some things we want you to pay attention to. And then people can go off and read it. So they're not walking you through every single thing. They're basically saying, here's how we got here. They're putting faces to it all. And then people go off, they read it, and then they have a follow-up event, a follow-up 1 hour. Once people have had time to read it and digest it. And I really like that strategy because it's not pushing everything on you all at once and take all that in and because it's so much information that I'm going to be sharing. And I know it's overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. So if people have time to go off and process the information, read the report, and then come back with their questions, I think it will lead to a better interaction between mm-hmm. the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll be asking more thoughtful questions than mm-hmm. Questions that are not only more thoughtful as I receive them, but also more productive for them because mm-hmm. they've had a chance to think about it.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. So the intake call then,
mm-hmm.
this call number one, is happening after someone's like, I want to hire you.
Well, I don't know. I was basing this off of the conversation or the course about figuring out if somebody is a good client or mm-hmm. a good match. And then I have a strategy questionnaire that uh-huh. they need to spend time with, like uh-huh. thoughtfully spend time with, that will probably end up being between 15 and 20 questions and off of that questionnaire that I process the information. And that's how I develop the strategy and watching the film, both of those things.
Right. Okay. Hold on. I'm just writing something down. Instead of, I'm wondering if on your website, you could have a form interested in working with me,
mm-hmm.
please fill this out, where you could ask questions that would give you a pretty good idea if they're good clients for you. Sometimes that you actually need to talk to people,
mm-hmm.
but if you don't, and you get somebody who can fill this out and tell you, this is where I think we need help. This is why we are looking to you. This is what clicked with us. These are our problem areas. It gives you a really good idea of like, oh yeah, yeah, I can totally help them. Because that then is just like, great, I can help you. Great, they want to work with you. Great, they pay you. And then you start. It saves you the step of of scheduling, mm-hmm. and then maybe rescheduling, and then having the little, hey, so do you have any questions?
You're suggesting that instead of the intake call.
Okay, let's get clear on the language.
Okay.
Traditionally, when you say intake call, okay. I see what you're saying, because I don't want to confuse you either. The intake call is, this is a brand new client. They have paid, they are on board, and now I'm going to mm-hmm. intake them. I'm going to get all we're going to start. Versus like a complimentary free, are we a good match call? Which some people call an intake call.
I may be using the wrong language, but I got this idea from one. I'm sorry, I can't remember which exact of the
recording
it was.
Right.
But there's a suggestion that you make about having a call with somebody to figure out if you're a good match for each other.
Okay. Right. Okay.
That's so what I was referring to there.
There's interaction you do with people before mm-hmm. they're your client, and there's interaction you do with them after they're your client.
Right.
We want to minimize the interaction you have with them before they're your client.
Exactly.
Especially for you, because somebody like me, when I coach, I'm like digging into people's lives and mm-hmm. like sometimes they want to ask me questions, like get to know me, or I need to ask some questions. But your service is very cut and dried. Hey, do you have a film? You want me to help you get into festivals? Great. Like what? Like, here's my website. I'm describing. Here's my 24 little things you can listen to see if that's what those are for. Do you like me? Do you think I know what I'm doing? Am I a good match? So basically, I think if you can just have a form on your site that says, hey, if you're interested in working with me, here's our first step. Mm-hmm. Fill out this form. Then you get that automatically delivered to your inbox and you read it and you go, sounds good. So then you email them and go, got your form. Mm-hmm. I would love to work with you. Here's what happens next. You pay me and then I will immediately deliver this to your inbox. And I will contact you once I get the payment, I'll contact you to schedule your three calls. Or two calls, just two calls.
Yeah.
Or probably a little tiny initial call to say, hi, here's the link to my film. Great. Oh, what's your film about? What's your hopes and dreams? Great. What's your background? All that. Lovely little.
Yeah.
Little 30 minute.
Introductory call.
Yeah. An introductory session.
I like that idea. I really like that idea because I like the idea of actually, I almost wrote 20 to 30 minutes there. And then I was like, I don't want to spend 20 to 30 minutes with somebody that I don't know if they're going to hire me.
Exactly. My point. That is you reducing the amount of money you're getting because you're working more.
Yeah.
Right.
But I do like the idea of having 20 to 30 minute conversation with someone to get to know them a little bit and be able to maybe introduce the strategy questionnaire. It's like, I'm going to ask you to fill out this form.
Yes.
Here's what it is. Here's what really helps me help you.
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. Just have that personal connection.
Yes.
So
yes, I love it. So you're going to have a 30 minute call, a 1 hour call, and a second 1 hour call.
Yeah.
Great. Now, never say, and we'll have a 20 to 30 minute call. It sounds weird. It sounds like, oh, it could go to 40 minutes, like too wishy-washy.
Right.
30 minutes. And it's your job at the 20 minute mark to have mm-hmm. some sort of little timer that goes off that reminds you, okay, I got 10 more minutes. Let's wrap this thing up.
Yes. Yes.
And
I really like that.
You end it at 30 minutes. and you end those 1 hour calls at 1 hour, because every time you go over the hour, you're reducing the amount you're getting paid per hour.
Yeah.
And I would recommend that for the second call, they've read the report. The second call is where they can come and ask you questions and get clarification. I would say an hour is going to go by pretty fast. So I'd like you to submit your questions in advance so I can wrap my brain around, because it lets you manage the time better. Because what is going to happen in those 1 hour calls is they're going to ask the lesser question first. You're not going to know if they have 4 or 40 questions. You're going to spend 20 minutes on that one question only to find out like they have 14 more questions.
That's great.
And then you're rushing through them and everyone's, and then you're like, I feel pressure because I should go over. And no, okay. Give me your questions, because it makes them clarify their thoughts. These are artists. They need to clarify their thoughts before jumping on the call. And then it lets you go, okay, so they basically have a lot of questions, or they have 3 questions. And if they have a lot of questions, you're like, oh, they're basically in the areas of this and this, and they don't understand this. And then sometimes you can just be like, okay, let me just hit the ground running and answer these 5 simple things first. Go, this is the site. You want 2 of those, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's the bigger questions I'm seeing us. And you are managing that hour.
I love
now, that. Let's say you have this person who's like, I have a lot of questions. I love you. And I need another hour with you. Because if you're coming up again 10 minutes before the hour, okay, so we have 10 minutes left. We can go 1 of 2 ways. You can pick the last remaining question to ask me, or we can finish this hour and you can buy another hour.
Okay.
They can't buy a half hour, can't buy 45 minutes. It's an hour because there's always going to be more to talk about.
Right.
There's always going to be more to talk about and more that you can share. Mm-hmm. So then have a flat rate that's unadvertised anywhere, except at this point where it's like, oh, we're running out of time.
What should the flat rate be?
How much are they paying you for this?
Well, for this? Last time we discussed it being $1,200.
Mm-hmm. And how does it feel now knowing the work that you'll be doing with the report and watching the film and these 3 calls? Does $1,200 still feel good?
Yeah, you had said $1,200 or $1,400, and you wanted me to think about climbing towards $1,600.
Eventually, yeah.
You know, Christine, I think I came up with some new ideas today about how I wanted to present the report, and I think I need to do some thinking about that, how much that's going to take. Like, I may edge it up a little bit. It's interesting.
Cricket, you can do 1600 right out the gate if you want to.
I definitely think I want to charge 200 or 250 for a 1 hour.
Oh yeah, for sure. But I'm just saying, if you want to just go out the gate with 1600, if you feel you can communicate the value to people and get clients at that rate, and you're in alignment with it, like you feel this is such a good deal, you can charge it.
Okay,
I'm going to want to. So anywhere from 1200 to 16. And yes, I would do 250 for another hour.
Basically, what I realized today, Christine, is that what's going to make people pay for this is that I just came up with this today. The idea of, instead of like, here's the whole year starting on January, and here are the festivals. If I present it as starting tomorrow and pull out the information, they don't have to process it. They can just literally say,
yes.
Oh, Cricket said the week of August 1st submitted this, this, and this. That is so easy for them.
Yes.
It's easy for me to provide. It just takes a little more time.
Okay.
So organizational.
Charge more. charge more.
That's what I need. I think, yes, I just realized that like an hour before this call. I was like, that's why people are going to pay for me as opposed to someone else. Because I'm going to be like, oh, here's your calendar. Start tomorrow. Go.
What you're saying to them is this isn't about me dumping a bunch of information on you that you then have to sort through and figure out and schedule. Right. No, I am doing this work for you to make this easier and more precision oriented for your particular film. You're going to get a scheduling tool that helps you keep track. You're going to get my curated list of festivals starting, you know, right the month right after we're talking. Yeah. Like, this is all curated for you and your film. That's what you're getting. See, that's about selling your value.
Okay.
But it's not just you get a scheduling tool, because nobody wants to buy a scheduling tool. What they want to buy is ease and quickness and done for you. And I'm figuring all of this out for you so you don't have to, because I know you have a million other decisions. Like, talk to them. I know where you're at right now. There's a lot of moving parts to this. And festivals are its own little universe. Let me make that so simple for you so you can maximize it. You've put all this work into your film. Yeah. You know it's good and you want it out there. Like, talk to this. So they go, oh my God, she totally knows. She knows. Okay, she's going to make it easy. Okay.
You know, that's make it easy for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm here to keep you calm. And I'm here to be a supporter of your film.
Right.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yay, yay, yay. Good job. Good job.
This is all very exciting. Thank you.
I think it's very exciting too. And good work at like thinking about this and bringing it back. So yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Good. Job. So Regina, look at that new photo I see. Oh, that's not you. Who's that? June. Nice photo. Regina. You're awesome. You're a cash flow cat. You have a business called Peaceful Pets, energetic cleansing for animals and the spaces they share with their human companions. Ah, tweak it, tweak it. So the question is, we talked in the prior call about the fact that you do these wonderful energy sessions, but then you've been writing up these reports with like videos and photos of like, here's how your pet changed. These are the crystals I use. Excuse me. And all of these lovely details that is extra work that may not be completely necessary for you to have wonderfully satisfied clients with what you are delivering. But your question is, yeah, but I have this one client who loves these reports. They take me about 35 to 45 minutes to put together. And I feel weird about just going, no more reports, because they love them. And then another option was sort of like, make the reports kind of smaller, but they love the reports. So I get this. And I think this speaks a lot to the same kind of theory of like when you're raising your prices, you don't necessarily have to raise them for your current clients. So if you institute a change, you don't necessarily have to change it for your current clients. So if you feel that for these particular clients, this report is something they love, you can keep doing it. How does that sit with you? Or would you prefer not to?
I have been noticing how long it takes me. Yeah. And sometimes I'm trying to blaze through it less thoughtfully, I guess. And sometimes it's like, and they still were laying there deeply relaxed, like didn't move, and you know, for this portion too. And so, yeah, when we were talking last week about it, I have started to notice the time that it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a couple of weeks where I'm like, geez, wait a minute. How long have I been doing this now?
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's like almost an hour.
Yeah.
And I also don't do it right away. Like I kind of drag my feet because I know I'm going to have to sit down at my computer for 45 minutes to do it. Mm-hmm. And like kind of don't want to do that. And then it ends up like it takes me much longer than making my invoices. Obviously, because there's a lot more information I'm putting in there, but and it's totally something that like she never asked for. I just like, you know, offered that at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And like when I started to make that one sheet, I thought I was putting a few less things in there than I had originally planned maybe my breakdown would consist of. Mm. So now I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm just like zeroing in on something to distract me from putting my energy elsewhere, marketing. And
I don't think so, because I just wrote down here, and this is really for everyone. If you have an aspect of something you're providing to clients that feels like a drag, it's it feels like homework.
Yes.
I don't feel like doing it right after the session. So then I have to do it at some point. And then it like weighs on me like, oh no. Then you start to feel guilty because I haven't given them the report back and it's been three days.
Yeah.
Why in the world would you want to go out and get more clients if it's just going to be more homework? You see how unconsciously that could be connected in your brain. And then you don't want to go out and market. And then you're like, why don't I want to get more clients? I love what I do. It's like, because you have this piece here that your lizard brain is like, ugh, I don't want to do that. That's horrible. We don't want more clients because that means more homework. So I think because this is how you're feeling about it, it needs to go. I want you to feel so light and happy when you do Peaceful Pets because it's your side business. I want it to be easy and streamlined and happy. And when you get a new client, you're like, no. Yeah. So I think because life is fluid, that I've a little note maybe to your clients or tell them in person, whichever you want. You know, I've loved creating these reports for you. But as my business is evolving and as my schedule is changing, I'm so sorry, but I'm no longer going to be able to include this aspect of our sessions or in my business. Yeah, just tell them.
Yeah.
I would be very surprised if they're like, no reports. We'll never hire you again.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I think I was also doing it for me. Just like, I feel like it was like a way of covering my ass almost. Like, hey, this is doing something. You're getting your money's worth. Okay. Yeah. But then like, in like May or something, I was pet sitting for them and her mother came to like relieve me and was going to be staying at the house and family stuff. And my client, she texted me later and was like, oh my gosh, after you left, and my mom was with her insane dog who is really weird with people. Mm. Like only barked at her once. And that was like a huge deal for her. And so it showed me like, okay, I'm the one that needs to like trust the work I'm doing. There are things that happen that are showing people. They just might not always tell me or, you know, verbalize it.
Yep.
And maybe that's something I should ask for from client if they, I don't know, maybe that's not something, but
I think
like, hey, if you notice anything positive, let me know. No,
I don't think it would be that question. You could say, would you like to share a testimonial, or could I interview you about the impact that this work has made on your animal? That would be the way to go if you want that kind of feedback. I'm like, how's it working? But I think that if they hire you again, or if they refer you to somebody, that's how you know that they're happy. Also, if they don't tell you they're unhappy, that's also a way you know that you can assume that they're happy. Why not assume it until you hear direct feedback that they're not happy? Assume they're all happy.
Okay.
And very often from the bigger picture perspective for everybody listening to this, it is very common for service providers to over deliver to soothe themselves, to soothe yourself of like, see, I'm doing a good job. See, I really know what I'm doing. See, I really care. Oh, see, you're getting your money's worth. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And that you're doing all of that work, which lowers your net profit because you're earning less per hour. If you add more hours of work to your service, you're doing all of that instead of doing the inner work that it takes to own the expertise you're providing. I'd rather you spend your energy building stronger muscles around like, I know this stuff works. I know I'm an expert in this area of the law. I know I can get your film seen in a wider space than you could without me. Just owning it. And then letting people make their decision about you the way they're going to make their decision about you. Because you could have a client where you are like, oh my God, I can tell you, Regina, can tell that that dog has changed, and they may not see it. And you can't control that. So just do your work. It's all you can do. Do your work and make your money.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
And your business isn't, you haven't had enough clients in it to really have the data to clearly know something's not working. Right now, seems like it's working. But as you get more clients, you're going to be like, oh, this is totally working. And they're happy. We're good. Right now, you just have to trust me. And then the data will eventually prove how right I am. Now we're going to work together on this?
Yeah.
Yes. Good job. Good job. But I think also you letting this aspect of it go will make you lighter about your marketing.
Okay.
Yeah. And you owning it more. This works. I'm great. Or I'm at least good. Will also help you with your marketing because you'll just want to do it more. If it's like, yeah, people should do this. Works.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anybody else? I saw that little laughing face cricket. Does anybody else have any questions, or do you feel complete?
I have a business name I'd like to run by you. Get Seen Film Festival Solutions. I am going to put it in the chat.
Okay.
And with the tagline, dream big, submit smart, get seen.
I like the tagline. Okay. The problem with the name is I don't know who your client is. Film festivals or filmmakers?
Oh, okay.
So, and film festival solutions, I'm not sure your client is thinking of it as a problem to be solved that needs a solution.
Right. You're right.
And I'm wondering, because you have such a great name, I'm wondering if you have to have like a name, and there's no right or wrong here. There's no right or wrong here. If you have to name, or if it's just like Cricket Rumley Film Festival consultant, consultant for filmmakers, film festival. It's weird because you want to say I'm a film festival consultant for filmmakers, but that's not good because it's too.
That's so many words.
Yeah. So I understand the. And the tagline, say it again.
Dream big, submit smart, get seen. Can I tell you about why I have dream big and submit smart?
Yeah.
Filmmakers come to me with big dreams of Sundance and Cannes and Berlin. And just to give you an idea, Sundance receives over 10,000 short film submissions every year, and they program 60 to 70. And so I have found that I don't want to rain on anyone's parade. I want them to dream big because it might work. But the odds are stacked against everyone because of this year. The numbers are just bad. And so the Submit Smart is really about, I want to help you expand your vision of what a film festival run is. I want you to submit in a smart way that will help you get into festivals, get your film seen. It might be slightly different from like that big premiere at Cannes that you're dreaming of, but we're going to get you out there.
Yeah. Why don't you call it smart submissions? Smart submissions. Film festival consult, film festival consulting for talented filmmakers with big dreams.
Ooh. Smart submissions, film festival consulting for talented filmmakers with big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
And here's what's interesting about the word talented. If someone self-identifies as, yeah, I'm a fucking talented filmmaker, they're more willing to pay the money. Do you see?
Yes.
You're like, oh, no, I work with the talented filmmakers, not just filmmakers.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the cut above. This is like the professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I like that word specifically. And with big dreams, it's like,
yeah.
You want the person who wants the Oscar because then they'll pay the money for the Oscar.
Right.
To get
right.
On the road. Yeah. It and helps.
Also, I'm sorry.
It helps them self select. And then even if they're not most talented and but you're getting people who are like serious.
Right. And I think that's part also a reason back to something that you said earlier in the call to charge more money.
Mm-hmm. Like, what do you think is a typical budget for your typical client for their film?
Well, I feel like there's going to be a huge range for that.
Uh-huh. But what's the range? Would you guess?
I would say $5,000 to $50,000. So for somebody who's making a $5,000 film, I might be very hard for them, or I might be what they splurge on. You know what I mean? Like, they were able to make the film, their 8-minute film for cheap, but they really want to get it into great festivals.
Right. Or another story is yeah, they were able to fund their $5,000 film themselves. So now they can go ask dad for $1,500 for you.
Interesting.
Maybe they haven't tapped anybody else because they were able to do that themselves on their credit cards, but maybe now is they can go tap another source. Maybe it's a $5,000 budget because they were wary and scared about raising funds.
Right.
You don't know.
That makes sense.
You don't know.
That makes sense.
And maybe they were willing to pay 15, but my God, their film only took five. So yay.
Mm-hmm.
The point is you don't know what their resources are and it's none of your business. Your business is to take care of your business and make sure your business takes care of you.
One of my students confirmed something. She had actually consulted another consultant, even though she could use my services for free. She told me the numbers were very similar to what she was like, do you want to know how much they charged? And I was like, yes. And she told me, and she's like, and that person was not as good as you. And they didn't care as much as you do. And she had this like long, long list of complaints about the other person.
But do you think the reason though, that she hired them is because, wow, they're charging money for it. So they must know a lot versus my freebie over here.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, yes. And I also think that this is somebody who always gets a second opinion.
That's good too.
And because they want to know, that's a really interesting point about the money. That's really interesting. I also like smart submissions a lot. I was playing around with that some earlier today and I like it.
And I got it from you because you wrote the 11 tips for submitting smart. And we're just turning that into the submitting smart series of 24. So your business name, Smart Submissions.
It's all flowing together.
You want to create this little tight little ecosystem, name everything. So it just feels like it's a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I used smart submissions. You got to use smart submissions. Yeah. And smart is also a word that is, again, client self-identifying of like, oh yeah, I want to submit smart.
A lot of these companies, by the way, Christine, they have names like Film Festival Formula, Film Festival Mastery. And I'm like, you can't master festivals. There's no formula for festivals. It's totally against what my whole approach. And they don't tell you what they really do.
Yeah. Those names. Are they courses or are they consultants?
They're consultants. Film Festival Key. That was the one that my student told me about. Film Festival Key.
Yeah.
I do not like any of those names.
Nope. Yeah. I like this one. Smart submissions, man.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll do a search for the website name.
Yeah. And if that is already taken, you can do smart submissions with cricket.com. Mm-hmm. Or smart submissions film festivals.
Yeah.
Just make a new URL.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good one.
This is great. All right,
everybody. It. Yeah. That's it for July, but we will be back again in August. So thank you for showing up. Thank you, Beth. You. Good to meet you. I'm so happy you're here and happy you joined. And June, your photo is beautiful. Love it.
Oh, yes. Also beautiful, your haircut, Christine.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I wanted to go short since the beginning of 2020. And it was like, no, not for another 2 years. Okay, I'll wait quietly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Looks great. I love it.
Thanks. I'm loving it. I'm loving it too. Yeah. All right, guys. See you later.
Good one. Have a good week.
You too.